Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. It's been over 2 years since the first state legalized recreational marijuana, and Delaware is yet to open any dispensaries within state lines. Rob Koop, the inaugural leader of the Office of the Marijuana Commissioner, stepped down in January, and the governor did not tap a new commissioner until last month. That new commissioner, cannabis attorney Josh Sanderlin, has hit the ground running as leader of Delaware's recreational marijuana market and says despite Delaware's challenges, he is confident in seeing a successful rollout. Delaware Public Media's Sarah Petrowich recently spoke with Sanderlin about the trials and tribulations marijuana business owners have already faced, as well as what consumers can expect moving forward.
You have over 15 years of experience with marijuana regulation and public policy. So for starters, just talk to me about how you got into the cannabis space, how your work in this field has evolved over the years, and how that led you to leading the cannabis industry in Delaware.
So I began while I was doing government affairs work here in Washington, D.C., about 2013 and 2014, we were hired by the city and county of Denver. And that time coincided with their transition from medical use to full adult use. So I got to get a really behind the scenes look. I would go meet with local officials, business owners, and get an understanding of how it was being implemented, what their issues were, and then come back to DC and talk to lawmakers here. Getting involved in things like the banking issue back then when, I remember going to one store and they showed me their vault that was just for holding cash. And it was taller than I am. And I'm over 6 feet tall and just filled with cash and hearing all the horror stories. So at that point, I did that. We were with them. And then I came back to the firm I was working at, which was a very large firm, and said, I want to do this practice. I think cannabis is an underserved area, and it's only going to go up and get more important. And they told me I was out of my mind, that they were a very large law firm and there was no way they were going to do cannabis. It had been decided. I had been there for 10 years and at that point decided, I was going to break out on my own. So when I broke out, I went and started working with smaller companies here in DC, doing medical, but also getting ready for the eventual recreation, helping people comply with laws. I'm a Maryland attorney, so I started doing work in Maryland as well. I got hired here and there as I got hired by one company as an in-house general counsel. And it was a tech company that was in the cannabis space focused on social equity. As with tech companies, they don't always work out, but it allowed me to kind of get a more in-depth understanding of the social equity side of things and the needs in the industry. And as my career progressed, I went back to running my own firm and working exclusively with cannabis businesses. What I've learned over the years is that it's a very underserved community, a business community, lawyers, CEOs, CFOs. It's getting better, but, a lot of times as I would be hired as outside general counsel by these, and I would end up doing, all sorts of things, everything from my legal work all the way down to more COO type things. That allowed me to really see many facets of the industry, really understand from a business perspective what you're facing when you open one of these companies. And still just continues to drive my desire to, take this job where I can have a real direct hand on the policy side of things to help implement a program that is, safe, responsible, and transparent.
And so just to clear this up ahead of time, there were some concerns raised by the Senate Executive Committee during your confirmation hearing around your involvement with some cannabis businesses in other states. So per Delaware code, the committee requested you divest from those companies before your full confirmation in front of the Senate. So you've since been confirmed. So just wanted to check in. Are you fully divested from these companies as of now?
Yes, ma'am. To make it simple, I fully divested and just didn't even take buyouts. I just walked away from the companies.
So jumping right in now into the nitty-gritty of everything, Delaware has clearly faced some challenges in getting its recreational market up and running. Adult-use marijuana was legalized in April 2023, so we are now 2 years post-legislation, and there are still no recreational dispensaries in Delaware. There's a lot to tackle here, but let's start with the most recent advancement and then kind of work our way backwards. So, as of now, the last public update on the industry followed the governor's signing of a bill that fixed a technicality in Delaware code that was prohibiting the FBI from issuing the necessary service code for marijuana business lottery winners to go through the federal background check process. That service code has since been issued, although there is another bill in the legislature making an additional technical correction in relation to federal background checks. So, really, the question here is, where are we now? Are the background checks underway? And do we have any semblance of a timeline for when lottery winners will be issued a conditional license so they can begin opening their businesses?
Background checks are fully underway. We're doing it systematically. It's being done through DATE. We have actually already begun to issue licenses, conditional licenses. On my first day, we went down to Georgetown, Delaware, and issued a conditional license for a cultivation out down there. So that was literally the first thing I did when I took the job. And we are making a full press to start doing those as well, getting more and more out there, ensuring that, folks have the ability to get their businesses up and running, stop waiting, and start actually, producing product for the industry, especially industry or supply sides of the industry that require a long lead up time like cultivations.
Yeah, and so I believe via the code and in general, it makes sense to issue those licenses for cultivation and testing and manufacturing first, right? And then we'll get retail later. And then I believe they have 18 months to get everything up and running. So I'm curious, is there kind of a rough estimate of when the retail licenses will be handed out, or is that sort of dependent on how the back end of all the other businesses get up and running?
I mean, these are conditional licenses, right? So for us at this point, it's when they've supplied the things they're required to supply, we can get them up and running when they're conditional and allow them to start, entering into contracts they need to enter into, site location or site control. I don't think it's a matter of, hey, we're just going to wait until the end and then, throw them all into the system. We're working through them just as we're working through the cultivations and the manufacturers. Right now, the documents we have gotten back from the licensees, they just kind of lend itself to doing these cultivations early on. But there will be a focus on getting as many as these as we can get out, right? We don't want to wait any longer. We understand we've heard the industry, we've heard the advocates, we've heard the, Delawareans. We're making every effort to get this to get this whole program moving as expeditiously as possible, but also, in a way that is effective, right? We don't want to be rushing just for the sake of rushing and then, end up making something worse by doing that. But
Yeah.
we are working expeditiously.
Got it. And so just to be clear, though, as of now, no conditional licenses have been given out to retail facilities specifically.
No.
Another major roadblock for lottery winners has been finding a location to even open up their cannabis businesses, right? So Sussex County has practically implemented a de facto ban with its buffer zone requirements from sensitive areas, and nearly every municipality in the southern part of the state has banned marijuana business. But these types of zoning restrictions and all-out bans have also made their way up north, right? This is a problem statewide. So there is a bill in the legislature right now. In fact, it's on its last step before heading to the governor for signature that would prohibit retail marijuana stores from opening within 500 feet of a place of worship, school, childcare facility, and other sensitive locations. And this is a lot less than Sussex County's current buffer zone of 3 miles. Advocates in the space and lottery winners are widely supportive of the legislation, but opponents, particularly Republican lawmakers, argue the state is overriding local control, right? So I know your job is to enforce the regulations passed by the General Assembly, but how do you feel about the requirements in the legislation? And do you think Delaware could even have a viable recreational market without these changes?
So, I mean, first and foremost, you have to have the ability to locate a business to have a business. So it's important that these guys have that these companies have a place to go. That being said, issues of sovereignty between the state government and the local governments is way beyond my pay grade, and really cuts to the heart of democratic government. So, I'm not really ready to wade into those waters. If this bill passes and is signed by the governor, then I'll be able to implement that. If it doesn't, then that means we'll need to work even closer, even more closely with the counties and the municipalities to help them understand, that this is a legitimate business. This is not something that's going to ruin neighborhoods. And I think part of that really is, making sure that we get it's working with the counties, but it's also making sure we get this program going, right? As long as the program is stagnant, it's much easier to say that this, that opening these businesses will cause a problem. But once they're open and causing no problems, that makes that argument much harder to make and stand against. And I think, working with counties, working with local governments, and understanding their concerns is very important. We'll see in the next couple of weeks what happens with SB 75.
Yeah, another key part of legalizing adult use recreational marijuana was the creation of the Social Equity License Program. And this provision ensured a certain number of business licenses were granted to those who were disproportionately affected by marijuana prohibition and that they would receive financial support from the state when starting their business. And so to help fund this program, the legislature passed a bill creating conversion licenses, which allows medical marijuana dispensaries to purchase a license to also sell recreationally. Now, those medical dispensaries have not yet begun selling recreationally because under code, you as the commissioner can only authorize them to operate once other dispensaries are up and running. So these are two different licenses, but they are intertwined in a way. I'm curious with what you've seen in other states. What are your thoughts on how Delaware has set up conversion licenses, especially considering some argue these licenses give medical dispensaries an unfair competitive advantage, as well as your thoughts on the social equity license program and kind of how the two mingle?
So every state is wildly different in how they design their laws, how they implement their laws, how they reform their laws as they go. We're all learning on the fly here with cannabis. And one thing about the industry is not only are the laws different in each state, the consumers are different in each state. What works and doesn't work is different. The obstacles you face are different. I think thus far, from what I've seen, Delaware has done a superb job of identifying the need of providing the licenses for that purpose, and then the funding stream that we are working on, I think, is leaps and bounds ahead of what I've seen in other jurisdictions, and will be much more targeted towards providing folks in the social equity category with the access to capital, which nobody really has in this industry, but especially folks that are usually fall into the social equity class.
And not just taking everything to a broader level, I don't think you would be here in Delaware if you didn't have faith in the state establishing a successful recreational marijuana industry. But based on your experiences in other states' programs, are there any changes or additions to Delaware's recreational program that you would make or think the state should consider moving forward?
I think, right now, the eye on the prize for us and for me is getting what we have open. Before we start, worrying about what's next. That being said, I think Delaware is excellently positioned to get our program going, right? Having come on board not long ago and coming from the outside in, I have a different perspective on everything, but I'll tell you this, the staff at the OMC, or my agency have, really done phenomenal job getting us to the point we are at. I know that doesn't get as much play in the media. A lot of times it's about delay, 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 but these folks have everything lined up. We are working really quickly, and the only reason we can work quickly at this point with me just coming in is because everything is set up and in place. So, what's next? I don't know, but what's immediately next is getting us up and running.
There are several businesses in Delaware selling hemp-derived substances, which are legal currently under the 2018 U.S. Farm Bill via a loophole. So there have been concerns raised, particularly around young people having access to these products, but business owners argue strict regulations would put them out of business. So how do you think Delaware should proceed when it comes to regulating hemp-derived products versus these cannabis products?
Well, I mean, I arguing to somebody in the medical cannabis space or the recreational cannabis space that overregulation causes your business to go out of business doesn't really play well. We are one of the most heavily regulated industries in the country, and that's for safety reasons, right? That, do I think we overregulate in some states? Yes. But that being said, we still operate and we are facing way more challenges. I think if something is intoxicating or something is consumed by people, It needs to be regulated. It needs to be overseen. We need to know what's in things. We need to inform consumers and make sure that everybody, not everybody's a good actor in the business industry, right? There are a lot of us that are good actors, but there are ones that aren't. And being able to protect the public is, our number one goal, I think, in regulating these products.
That's really helpful. Thank you so much, Commissioner. I think that's all that I have for you. Is there anything else you want to add or anything we didn't touch on that you think is relevant based on where the market is at now or where you see it moving forward?
No, I mean, I think there's just a ton of potential in Delaware. You were right when you said earlier, I wouldn't have taken this job if I didn't think that. And I'm really excited to be, in a position where I get to help, stand up this whole industry in the state and make sure that it's done in a safe way that protects the public and provides access to consumers.
Thanks to Delaware's new Marijuana Commissioner, Josh Sanderlin, and our Sarah Petrowich for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. Delaware Public Media's Abigail Lee takes a closer look at efforts to bring stronger oversight to the state's volunteer fire companies. That's next on The Green, here on Delaware Public Media.